In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.
It's kind of sad, brothers and sisters, that we'll stop saying that in just a matter of days when we celebrate the Lord's ascension. But we'll move from one celebration to the next, from the Lord's resurrection to his ascension into heaven, and we're in anticipation of the great feast of Pentecost, which is to come. These last Sundays, the two previous and this Sunday today, have been speaking to us about the coming of Pentecost with the theme of water. We had the healing of the paralytic at the pool. We had just last Sunday the Samaritan woman who came thirsting and was given the waters of eternal life. And today we heard the gospel of the healing of the blind man who was sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. And he came back seeing. These speak to us about the great gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of Pentecost, and how Pentecost raises us up like the paralytic, quenches our thirst like the Samaritan woman, and opens our eyes like the blind man. Pentecost is one of the high holy days of the year, and we look forward to it with great anticipation. We'll speak a little bit about how our spiritual eyes can be opened. This poor man, who was blind from his very birth, suffered greatly in this life. But he was given a great miracle, one of the marvelous works and signs that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And he was given his sight, a miracle that had never been seen before in the history of the world, that a man born blind was given his sight. Truly remarkable miracle. But our first way in which we can have our spiritual eyes opened is quite simple. And remember the importance of having our spiritual eyes opened, because we need to see God, we need to see the world as it is. We spoke about this a little bit last Sunday. We need to have the eyes of our soul opened, not just our physical eyes, in order to walk properly in the ways of God. I want to share with you something from the life of Elder, now Saint, Paisius of the Holy Mountain, who was recently canonized. And this teaching that we see in his life by his personal example is extraordinary, and perhaps too extraordinary for us, but I'm going to share it anyway. Don't call the bishop, I'm not advising anyone to do this. But this is what he did. Out of his great love for people, he was a spiritual father, and many people came to the Holy Mountain, or when he was traveling, they came to see him, to speak with him, so that he might help open their eyes, so that he might help them see God and everything he's doing for them and for us. But St. Paisius had a difficulty. He had a challenge in reaching some people because of the difficulties and challenges of their own lives. He had difficulty entering into those challenges, into those struggles, so that he could help lead them out. And St. Paisius did something which, again, maybe is a little bit mind-blowing, but he prayed to God that he would be given a very difficult cross. St. Paisius said that when he dealt with people who were in need of God's healing, he saw three main things that modern man suffers from. He saw this countless times. He saw a modern man suffering from divorce. This is one of the things that he saw. He saw that modern man suffered greatly from cancer, that many people were ill and sick. And he saw that many people suffered from depression and mental illness. He kind of saw this to be rampant in modern society. And so many people suffered, and he wasn't able to co-suffer with them because he was a monk, he wasn't married, couldn't have been divorced, he didn't have cancer, and he didn't have mental illness or great depression. But he wanted to co-suffer with these people so he could help lead them out of that suffering. And he prayed to God that he might get cancer. He wasn't married, couldn't get divorced. He was afraid to lose the gift of prayer that he had received, and he didn't want mental illness. But he prayed that he would get cancer. so that he could co-suffer with people and help lead them through that. Now, this is remarkable. What's perhaps maybe more remarkable is not just that he had this intent, but that God gave him cancer. He allowed him to have cancer. And this is what St. Paisius died from. When we see this example of St. Paisius, we see that he was a man of great sympathy, but also a man of great empathy. And what's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Anyone want to give the answer to that? We go to the root of these words. Sympathy has to do with two terms or two parts of the word. Sympathy, or pathos. And that means suffering with. We suffer alongside somebody. We suffer with somebody. But what's empathy? M, pathos. M, in. A co-suffering that's internal. Sharing the exact same experience. An example might be if somebody's mother dies and we feel great sorrow for them, but we haven't lost our own mother, we might have sympathy for them. But if we have lost our own mother, we can have empathy with them, that we suffer together with them because we're in the exact same situation. And Elder Paisius, St. Paisius, he knew sympathy, but he also wanted empathy. But you might think, well, this is crazy. Who would want to suffer these terrible things? And then we think about God. We think about the incarnation. We think about the one who is life eternal. And he comes down and takes flesh. And he bore our sicknesses and our infirmities and our maladies. All the consequences of sin without sin. Even to the point of death on the cross. And he did it voluntarily. As Christians, we are to sympathize, but to some degree, we also have to empathize with people. Now, again, no one is suggesting that we pray to God that we be given cancer or anything like it. But there are ways that we can empathize with people. We think about our time, our talent, and our treasure. If we were to share these things with those who are in need of our time, our talent, and our treasure, well, we have now less. But we've shared with those who are in need, and they have more. And we undergo a little suffering so that we can help them in their suffering. And we become united with them. This is the road of the Christian, one of sympathy and empathy. This is the first way that our eyes can be opened. Second way, I want to share with you an experience that I had this past week. I got a phone call from a gentleman who was from Los Angeles, and he had come out to Millsboro to see his family. And he hadn't seen his family for a long, long time, some 30 years. About 50, hadn't seen his family since he was 20. And there's a reason for that. He hadn't seen his family because his family disowned him, kicked him out. And the reason why they kicked him out is because he said that he was gay. Now this man went out to Los Angeles, and he lived that lifestyle. He ended up getting AIDS, and he's nearing his death. He made this trip across the country, very poor man, but he made the trip across the country to be reconciled with his family. Came to the home in Millsboro, and he was rejected again. His family, who had been Baptist at the time, are now Westboro Baptists, and they utterly rejected him. This man recently became an Orthodox Christian, and he ended up calling our church because he needed a family, a church family. Went to see him, I talked to him for a little bit, and despite everything that he was going through, he was in relatively good spirits. It's amazing. Now, why mention this man? Why mention his terrible suffering? We could close our eyes for a moment. We can imagine ourselves, try to imagine ourselves in that situation. Sympathy, not empathy. And then if we open them, we find that we're not in that situation. We're not in as horrific a situation as this gentleman. And that should fill us with some gratitude. You know, this blind man in the gospel reading, think about the gratitude that he had. His eyes were open. He had never seen anything. Not the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the flowers, the earth, his mother, his father, perhaps his siblings, his family. I hadn't seen any of this. And his eyes were open, and now he could see. And every day he probably woke up and gave thanks to God with true sincerity for the gift of his sight. But he only knew how wonderful God's gift was because he had been deprived of it. What if we woke up every day and gave thanks to God that we could see, that we didn't have mental illness or depression or cancer, or even if we had all of these things, that we're still alive and able to open our eyes? We would be filled with gratitude. And that's open to each and every one of us, no matter what our circumstances. We can open our eyes and be filled with gratitude. Now the third way that we can have our eyes open. This man in the gospel reading, he was healed because Jesus saw him with his eyes that he had assumed in taking man, saw him and came to him. And he did something really very strange. He spit on the ground and he made like a mud or a clay with a spittle. And he took it and he put it on the man's eyes. Fathers say he had no eyeballs and he formed eyeballs for him, put it on his eyes, and told him to go and wash across the way in pool. And this man, who had suffered so much, was now in a humiliating circumstance of having mud in his eyes, made from someone's spit, and now walking across the town in front of everybody to some pool to wash. But you know what? He did it. He did it. Because he wanted to be healed so badly. He would undergo anything. He would listen to the word of God no matter what it was. He would be obedient because he knew that through this obedience he would be healed. And he went and his eyes were opened. This is the third way that we can be healed. Obedience. Listening to the word of God. And listening to the word of God when it's not the word we would like to hear. We always come back to this because that's when obedience is obedience. If it's what we would do anyway, it's not obedience. St. Augustine says, if you're reading the scriptures and you believe what you want to believe, you're believing yourself, not the scriptures. If we listen to God and the things that we would do anyway that we want to do, we're not listening to God, we're listening to ourselves. But if we believe what we wouldn't otherwise believe, if we listen to what we wouldn't otherwise listen to, because we know it's coming from God, then faith and obedience lead to healing. And what kind of healing? Are we after a perfect bodily health? Who wouldn't be, right? Sometimes we shy away from that because we elevate the spiritual over the physical. But we are after full physical healing. And this is promised to us. God has come to give us resurrection. This is a foregone conclusion for us. And not just believers, but everybody. Everybody will have their physical eyes opened, their hearing perfected, all of their senses functioning, their diseases eradicated, and have full health, bodily. But what's not granted to everybody, although it's offered to everyone, is the full healing of the soul. To have the eye of the soul, to have the thirstiness of the soul quenched, to have the soul raised up from its paralysis. This is given to those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is given to those who are blessed to be followers of Jesus Christ. We can be healed. You know, we talk about this next age and this resurrection, and this is one of our themes in the Paschal season, just coming to a close now. And we look for this resurrection. We know it's coming. But what we don't know yet is whether or not we'll experience that as heaven or hell. This question hasn't been answered. Though God knows, we haven't given him our answer to that yet. How do we say we want healing? By doing what he asks. By doing what he says. By listening to him and following him and keeping his word. This is how our souls are healed. This is the Paschal season. And this is a time of great joy. Because God has given all things to us. Everything. Fully. Perfectly. For all of eternity. This is open to each and every one of us. Let us rejoice in it. Let us give thanks to God for it. And let us seize it by keeping His commandments, following His ways, and entering into the fullness of life that He has prepared for us. Christ is risen.